and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church. This week in worship, Pastor David kicks off 2021 with a look at a new sermon series entitled Go. Let's listen.
Well, it is 2021, or maybe we should say it is finally 2021. I mean, have you ever been just so excited to close the chapter on a year like we have at 2020? On a normal year, I recognize people make resolutions. They say, I resolve to be different this year, or I resolve to take on this new practice, or to eliminate this old habit. I thought in 2021, I mean, what a better way to kind of wash the bad taste of 2020 out of our mouths than to make some resolutions for this new year that we are now approaching. So I scoured the internet for you, and I found what I think are the top five resolutions that we can make for 2021. Okay, so here is number five. Buy all leftover 2020 calendars and burn them. I mean, wouldn't that feel good? Just like, I'm closing the door. Nope, no more 2020 calendars. I'm pretending that year did not exist. Or number four, stop drinking orange juice after I brushed my teeth. I recognize that's not 2020 specific, but I think I need to get that every year on my resolution chart just to remember. Because, what a bad taste. I do not want that. Or number three, actually put on a full outfit for Zoom calls. Although, let's be real, business on top and PJs below never hurt anyone. And, you know, that's true for the congregational meeting next week, too. It never hurt anyone, just as long as you look professional from the waist up. Number two, relearn social cues after a year at home. That's going to be a hard one, isn't it? I mean, really, after spending a year at home, imagine being in a group setting again, being like, wait, how do I talk to people? How do I break into a conversation? And then the number one resolution for you guys in 2021, go outside among people. Can you imagine? Oh, that's going to feel so good. Who knows when? It might be the latter half of 2021 when that actually happens, when you can be around large groups of people again, but it is going to feel good whenever that occurs. Okay, set those aside for a second. Those are all good individual resolutions, but I actually have a resolution that I want us to make as a church. Yes, I have a 2021 resolution for us, the people of Unity. And I wonder if you can guess it. I mean, what could the resolution for 2021 be? I mean, do you have any clue as to what it might be for this next year? You're right. The resolution for 2021 for Unity Presbyterian Church is to go. It's really simple, easy to remember, easy to memorize, to go. Now, I know what you're wondering. You're thinking, why? Why go? I mean, generally at the church, we want people to come. We say, come and be a part of this community. Come and experience the presence of God. And that's all good, but that's not our resolution. No, in 2021, I would like our congregation to resolve to go. And to make this something that we really think through, we're actually going to start a new 7-week series today, and it is titled Go. And each week, you will be told a new way that God wants you to really go. So for example, today we're going to study how God asks us to go and make disciples. And every week throughout this series, there's going to be a new command here. We will follow the book of Acts, and throughout Acts, we will find these 7 commands of how we are supposed to go. Now, that is our resolution, but you may still be wondering, well, so why did we pick that? I mean, there's so many good ones we could have picked. But we get it from the very last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. So let's read those together. From Matthew chapter 28, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore, go,'" there's your key word, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Okay, did you notice the command in there? The command to go? Yes, Jesus told his disciples not to stay put, not to just keep doing what they're doing, but to go. And go, that giant word that we want ingrained in your minds today, go is an action word, isn't it? Go is a verb. It means you are doing something. It implies an action. And the disciples were to go and make more disciples. And in the process, baptizing them and teaching them all the things that Jesus had taught them. That is how the disciples were to go. But go, in that kind of action word, also means to physically move from one place to another, to a new place. I mean, after all, the disciples couldn't just stay where they were in that little group of 11 disciples and then fulfill this command, because everyone was already a disciple. No, they had to go physically and leave where they were to fulfill this purpose of making more disciples. So were they successful? I mean, did these 11 disciples that Jesus originally gave this command to, were they effective in actually going out from where they were and then making more disciples, disciples of all nations? Were they successful? Well, let's just go read the next chapter in Matthew chapter 29, and find out. Oh, wait. There is no Matthew 29. No, this is how the book ends. I mean, talk about a cliffhanger. The book ends with Jesus saying, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you, and then nothing. We don't know if this was actually fulfilled. Thank goodness for the book of Acts. You see, the book of Acts is the continuation of this story. The book of Acts takes where we leave off in the Gospels and then shows us how these disciples actually went and fulfilled this command to go. That is why in this 7-week series, we'll be studying the book of Acts, because we want to see how those original disciples actually went, so that we as well, as disciples in the 21st century, can learn from them and apply to our own world and to our lives today the ways that we can go. The book of Acts, there's a really neat kind of observation about it from one of my favorite commentators, Mark Allen Powell. He puts it this way. He says, the book of Acts tells the story of the early Christian church with all the flair of an exciting adventure novel. And I think you'll find that to be true. If you've not read the book of Acts for a while, or if this is your first time, you're going to love it, because it takes these disciples and the ways that they chose to fulfill this command and then shows you the adventure that they go on in fulfilling Jesus' command to go. So, let's begin together. Let's begin studying this command and the way that the disciples actually did it by beginning Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It begins in this way. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Okay, you may be wondering, why does a book, in this case the book of Acts, begin with that phrase, in my former book? Well, the book of Acts was written by a man named Luke. And Luke was a doctor. He was also an early follower of Jesus, although not one of the original 12 disciples. And Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. So we've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke is the author of that third gospel. But he also wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote it as a continuation of what happens after the Gospels. I mean, all the Gospels share basically Jesus' birth, his life, teachings, his death and resurrection, and then nothing. And Luke goes on to tell the next story, the new story of what the disciples did after Jesus left and ascended back into heaven. Now, originally, these two volumes, the Gospel of Luke and Acts, in the first century, they were circulated as one kind of giant book, or kind of a two-part set, I guess. But in the second century, they decided, the churches, to put all four of the Gospels together and circulate those to the early churches. And so it was at that time they divided Luke from Acts. That's why in your Bibles today, they're not back-to-back with one another. You've got John stuck in there. That's the reason. It goes back to the second century. But really, these two books should be read together because they tell the one overarching story of the birth of the church. It tells the story of what happens next. How do the disciples fulfill that last and final command of Jesus to go and make more disciples? Let's continue that story to find out how effective they were. Continuing on verse 3. It says, after his suffering, meaning Jesus's, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus is with his closest followers here, and he tells them to wait in Jerusalem and wait for the gift that God is going to give them, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But wait, just a second here. Matthew ends with Jesus' command to go, right? To go out into the world. But now, before Jesus leaves, he tells them to wait. Why the difference? Why first go into the world, but first wait here in Jerusalem? Well, it's simple. If they're going to be effective in making more disciples, they need to be equipped, properly equipped to do that. And Jesus is saying, wait here, because God is going to equip you for the task that you're about to embark on, the going into the world. Yes, God's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the power and presence of God within you, is going to equip you so that you can then fill the command to go into all the world and make more disciples. It's a bit like when you start a new job. Your employer doesn't just say on day one, great, jump in, go, figure everything out. No, first you are trained, right? There's an orientation. You learn the ropes. You are equipped to do your job responsibilities. And in the same way, God wants to equip these disciples to be able to fulfill this command, to go and make more disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. So they are to wait before they go. The next verse, it says, then they gathered around him and asked, well, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, the disciples are wondering, how exactly are you going to equip us? What is this gift that you're going to give us? And they think in political terms. After all, that's kind of the world we live in. We don't always think in spiritual terms like we should. We think in like, well, what can I see and experience out there? What am I used to? And so they're wondering, okay, God, are you going to equip us by restoring the kingdom of Israel? Are you going to bring the kingdom of Israel back to the glory days of King David when everyone looked up to us? Is that what you're going to do? Is that why you want us to wait in Jerusalem? But what they're about to learn is that God does not want them to wait in Jerusalem in order to make Jerusalem better. No, God wants them to wait in Jerusalem because God's going to make them better and more equipped to then leave Jerusalem. Here's how Jesus puts it. In verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Okay, I've got two pictures that I want to show you that kind of explain this. Here's the first one. It's Jerusalem with arrows pointing inward. This is what the disciples were expecting. They were believed that God was going to empower them by the Holy Spirit to continue their work where they were, in Jerusalem. It was Jerusalem focused. That's the equivalent of us asking God to equip us for the work that we're currently doing, that we're currently involved in. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is actually talking about something different. Here's the second picture I want to show you. All we've done is we've flipped those arrows. Because this is what Jesus was actually talking about. Jesus wanted to equip his disciples to go out of Jerusalem and change the world around them. They were not going to be simply equipped for continuing to do what they were already doing in the place that they were doing it. No, God wanted to equip them to leave their comfort zone, to leave Jerusalem, and to go and change the world. It's the equivalent of God saying, "The gifts I'm giving you are not to be used for what you're doing right now, but they're for a new thing that you have not yet started. That's what I'm calling you to." So, with that in mind, take a look one more time at Jesus' words. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Pay attention to that word, witnesses, because the disciples are to be witnesses in the world. To witness something is to see or experience that thing. That's why if there's a car accident, I mean, police often ask for witnesses. Who saw this take place? Who can recount what they experienced? In the same way, the disciples were witnesses of Jesus. They spent 3 years with Jesus. They saw his teachings. They saw his miracles. They experienced Jesus. They were witnesses. And I want to broaden that a little bit, because in the same way, I believe you are witnesses. Yes, if you are here with us today, or if you are watching online, there's a reason for that. Most likely, you have witnessed something about the presence of God in your life. Maybe you can articulate it, maybe you can't, but you've experienced, you've witnessed enough to tune in and want to know more, want to learn more, want to experience worship in some way. Yes, we too are witnesses, and we are meant to witness to the presence of God in our world. And we do so in a particular way. Look once again at this verse. He says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These are not just random places that Jesus picked out on a dartboard. No, these are intentional places that Jesus wants his disciples to go and be witnesses. And we, in our life, can learn from these places as well. So let's start with Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where they were, and so the equivalent of that for us is Jerusalem is the place that you reside. Yes, it's as if Jesus is saying, make disciples in the place that you live and the place that you reside. What is your community? So for us, it would be as if Jesus is saying, I want you, Church of Unity, to go and make disciples throughout Denver. This is the place we live. This is the place we reside. This is our Jerusalem. And really, I've got to say, I think Unity does a phenomenal job at that. I think you guys really do go out of your way to do what you can to make disciples in this area. You invite people to church. You host watch parties online. You invite people to watch with you. You share about what God is doing in your life. These are the ways that we can make disciples in our Jerusalem, right here in the community of Denver. And in some ways, that's the most comfortable, because it's where we are. We don't really have to go out of our way to make disciples. But notice that Jesus did not tell the disciples to simply stay in Jerusalem. Now, the next place that they were to go was to Judea. So we have a map that I want to show you. And in this map, what you can see is you have Jerusalem underlined, okay? It's kind of on the bottom third of your screen, right above Hebron and Bethany. You've got Jerusalem, okay? So that's the place they reside. You are to make disciples in Jerusalem, but also you are to make disciples in Judea. You can see Judea is that whole region around Jerusalem. It's kind of that orange shaded area. That is Judea. And so for us, we would say that Judea is your region. If Jerusalem is the place that you reside, the place that you live, then Judea is like the region around you. It's more expansive than just the city you live in. That would be like Jesus saying, I want you, community of unity, to make disciples in Denver and in all of Lincoln County. That is our Judea. That is our region. And so here's a map of Lincoln County to give you kind of a picture of what Jesus is encouraging us. Denver, on that map, is a bit north than it should be, but Denver is really a small portion of Lincoln County. But if this is our Judea, then it's so much more expansive than simply where we live and where we spend the majority of our time. It expands to Iron Station. It expands to Pumpkin Center. It expands to Lincolnton. It expands to Vail. Yes, this is our Judea. And I find this to be the more challenging aspect of Jesus' command. Sure, we can make disciples if we really put ourselves out there in our Jerusalem, right here in Denver. But how do we do so in Lincoln County? How do we expand our vision of making disciples to include our Judea? And if that's not enough, you're to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now, let's go back to that original map, if we could. Samaria is to the north. You see it. It's also a region, but it is a region distinct from Judea, because Samaria was where the Samaritans lived. And by this point, you know about the Samaritans. The Samaritans and the Jewish people did not get along. They didn't see the world in the same way. They were different from one another. That's why the story of the Good Samaritan is so shocking, because the Samaritan is the hero of the story, something that Jewish people would never have thought to be possible in that time frame. And so for us, the Samaria is the place that's outside your comfort zone. Yes, that is our Samaria. Jesus is encouraging us to make disciples, not just in the places that we're comfortable, but to make disciples in places that are not easy or even natural for us to reach. And so this should get us thinking, where is our Samaria, right? Where might it be more challenging for us as a church to make disciples? What cultures or groups of people might be more challenging for us to reach? That is our Samaria. And it's not just to Jerusalem. It's not just to Judea, just not to Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. Yes, that is how expansive Jesus' vision of this command is. All are included. None are left out. So now that you know what Jesus is commanding, how we are to go, let me remind you, you are God's witnesses. Yes, you are to go out in Denver, in Lincoln County, and beyond to make more disciples. That is what this series is all about. We have a charge to go and make disciples. And we will track the story of Acts and apply it directly then to how we can go into our community and beyond. Now, by the end of this series, we will reveal some concrete steps that our church is planning to take to fulfill this command. But we're not there yet, because first, we want to equip you, right? Just like the disciples had to wait first, be equipped by the Holy Spirit, and then go, we feel like this series is about being equipped. And so I hope through the teachings from the book of Acts that we as a congregation can be equipped for this task to go into Lincoln County. And how we do that, we'll share with you by the end of this series. But first, we can all get started on this journey. And here's how I recommend you do it. Take some time this week and intentionally spend time in prayer for the people of Lincoln County, for the people in Vail, in Lincolnton, in Iron Station, people that you may not know yet, and some that maybe you do. Simply be in prayer for them that God can use this church to go and reach out to our Judea area. Yes, be in prayer for our community, and in doing so, expand our vision for where God might use this church.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.